Grand Rapids.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For today, we'll have areas of fog early. Otherwise, we'll have gradually clearing skies, high near 85. Winds will be from the west between 5 and 10. Tonight, clear. We'll have a slight change of showers and thunderstorms late with a low near 65. For Saturday, showers and thunderstorms likely late. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 88. Tomorrow night, we'll continue with storms likely, low of 66. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by WeatherOlogy.com, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford.
And again, folks, we got a slight chance of maybe a strong thunderstorm late tonight. Tomorrow, the time frame they're looking at for thunderstorms, and some of which could be strong to severe, are 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., and we got about a 60% chance of thunderstorms Saturday and Saturday night. And then it cools down on Sunday, a high of 81, with a chance for scattered thunderstorms early. Otherwise, it will be partly cloudy and a little bit more comfortable. Right now, across central Wisconsin, there we go. The computer is now updating our temperatures. Thank you, computer. Okay, here we go. And it's partly sunny now and 72 in Wausau, a cloudy 71 in Marshfield, 72 in Stevens Point, and we got a little sun poking through the clouds and 72 degrees here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thank you, Jerry, and welcome back, everybody, to today's show on AM 1320 and also on the web at WFHR.com. It's time for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Rye. You can reach your local investment professionals by calling 715-422-0700, 422-0700. Today, the topic is what's going on in the world markets. Good morning,
Good
Professor.
Morning.
Woke up this morning, turned on the weather channel to see what's happening, heard about the tornado that ripped through western Illinois. But they go to a break, and here comes former Congressman Ron Paul, Dr. Paul Ron Paul, and he's proclaiming the end of the world is near, our economy is about to collapse, blah, 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 blah. And you got to watch this video to learn how to protect yourself. As a person in the investment industry, when you see that kind of stuff, and maybe you get some calls from somebody going, what's he talking about, Pete? What's your response, or what's your reaction to that?
Well, first of all, I think it's a long honored tradition of being a doom and gloom, and who's going to be the guy who can predict it. Second of all, I bet you the video wasn't free. And so, you know, and obviously, I'm sure has built out a scenario where this is going to be the fact, and, you know, hopefully he's wrong. But, you know, I think you just have to, with all this, understand, look at what the premises are, what are the assumptions valid, and if they are, then you act accordingly. So I don't think you can just put them all in one big ignore category. But you know, I look at and listen to a lot of those, because you know, sometimes it's not ultimately catastrophic, but it, you know, there's an effect, and we've been through enough catastrophic scenarios going back to the Depression and 2000 tech and 2008 financial crises that we're still here talking about it.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the world markets, and especially let's start off with China. China was roaring and everything else, and now word is the Chinese government's kind of propping up their market and everything else. And what's this mean for the investor?
Well, let's give a little history here to get everyone caught up for those who might not necessarily be in China. In an attempt to take this transition from being an industrial led economy to a consumer led economy, obviously real estate was the first play here, and now they feel the stock market is felt the stock market is the next logical extension of that. So starting last fall, they started cutting interest rates their version of QE. Obviously, it didn't get attached. But, and they made borrowing money for the investor to buy stocks called margin very much advantageous for them to do so. Then, quite frankly, the other thing that started gaining a little momentum earlier this year was that there was a word, rumor, whatever, that China stocks was going to be put into the MSCI, one of their indexes, whether it was the Asian index or the Euro-Asia or emerging. You know, they never specified, but the significance of that is that when they put something in the index, obviously people buy into that index. So the point is, they were the anticipation of what stocks and being put into an index started further fueling this uptick in the marketplace. Well. The MSCI Board of Governors or whatever, I think late May, early June, decided that at this point, this was not the type of thing that they didn't qualify or what have you. They weren't going to get in, and they really didn't set a time frame for when they would let them in. But there was some things and a checklist of things China had to continue to get done. And so in a year, the Shenzhen and the Shanghai were both had gone up over 100%.
Right.
And multiples were high and everybody was printing money. It was probably very much like 1999, 2000 in the dot-com era in our United States, where guys were quitting their job and becoming day traders and things like that. And so, but the catalyst, I think, for this was the of the decrease was first that index, and then it kind of built on itself, because if you had made a lot of money, you know, he taking some off the table never is a bad idea.
Right.
Two, what happens in most of these really spectacular up increases in a short period of time is that a lot of people get in at the end because, oh, my God, everywhere I go, guys are making money and I'm not.
Right.
And so then I'm sure you have some panic selling. And the fact that there was over $2.27 trillion on margin. So $2.27 trillion had been borrowed by investors to help buy stock. And when that happens, you still owe the bank or whoever you lent got the money from the same amount of money, but your value keeps going down, and you can get your subject to margin calls. So that was the background that got it going.
Right? Okay.
So it kind of fed on itself, as it usually does, and then what happened was that the over almost weekly, sometimes even daily, that the government would come in and put together so many new rules of the market. So, for example, a lot of companies had come to the public market, IPOs, to get funded. A lot of companies who were in debt had come to the market to take equity and replace the debt that they had. So that's where a lot of new money was coming.
Okay.
So they decided to stop stock offerings, all right?
Okay.
Then they talked about all the insiders. They couldn't sell for 6 months. Then they had, I don't know what the, whatever their SEC equivalent is, started investigating short selling, which is a natural part of the marketplace and for malicious behavior. They got together 21 different brokerage firms in there and got them to commit to buying shares. They got They told the companies they have to buy back shares. Their pension funds, they decided that X percentage of that, their pension funds should be put into stock. The descent of that market, ended up that almost at one point 55% of all their stocks had stopped trading. And so I think in my 34 years now of being in this world, this is unprecedented. I've never seen such numerous measures to try and support the marketplace, and it becomes not a natural market. I mean, it's a manipulated market.
Well, isn't that a natural result of their political system? And then you got the Communist Party, which is still the monopoly of political power in China, and they're basically saying, okay, they've been basically doing government-driven capitalism, if it were.
It has been take what we like and don't do it.
Right.
We won't do what we don't like type of thing. And so part of that is being in a capitalistic country. We're not used to that mentality.
Right.
All right. But it just seems the way of the market world. The question becomes for investors, do you want to be part of this environment and play an investment game in China that they change the rules? It would be hard to play any game if every day you played it there were new rules.
Right, right.
Right? And that's essentially what you've got going on here, is that you've got a lot of new rules. And so in the short term, there's a few things. One, worldwide confidence is eroded, not so much that the market goes down. Everybody's market goes up. I mean,
markets go up and they go down.
1989, Japan was 39,000. 2015, July, 17th, it's back to 21,000.
Right.
That's 26 years of being in a bad market and things. So, but the fact that they keep changing. So, as of Tuesday, 28% of the stocks still weren't open.
Okay.
So what's your reaction? Well, when it opens, I'm getting out of this, right? So you got that particular situation going on. You probably have seen a great deal of foreign money get out of those stocks. From a stock standpoint, I think there's still, they're just not going to stop it. The markets have to have their natural ebb and flow. So financially, I don't think this is just because they put in all these stops eliminates any further downside. The other consequence of this, which I think is a more it's going to affect more of the world, is that in the last couple weeks, they've had several announcements. Auto sales, they projected a 7% increase. That projection is now down to 3%.
Wow.
The commodities, iron ore and copper, and you go right down, are at multi-year lows because they believe the Chinese economy is going to continue to fail.
Is it in recession, do you think?
It could be. Again, that goes back to your comment about communism. I mean, there is a widely held thought that in the investment world, that the numbers they release on their growth and every year or mm-hmm. every quarter, are they true? Are they manipulated?
Mm-hmm.
Because, when you are growing at 10% a year, the real large numbers sooner or later takes effect. I mean, if you got a $100 million economy to grow 10%, all right, that's 10 million. If you have a $1 trillion economy, and you grow 10%, that's 100 billion.
Right.
And so, things like that. So, but because they are such a big buyer of so many things,
Right.
From, you know, Europe, that's the number one export site for Europe, et cetera, et cetera. That's where the concern is, that with China maybe backing off and not buying, that that could have a significant effect on all the world economies who rely on China for a good part of their sales and growth.
Well, interesting situation involving China, but that's not the only perplexing thing in the world economy. We have what's going on in Greece, and then the nuclear deal with Iran, and we'll talk more about that when Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry continues right after this.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small-town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
High School Sports at AM 1320 WFHR is proudly brought to you by Solaris, Wisconsin River Orthopedics, V6 Country Store, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, Ministry Healthcare, Nash Law Group, 8th Street Auto, Schaefer City Savings, Renaissance Learning, Marshfield Clinic, and for Assumption High School Sports, Brazo, La Chapelle, Kreshock, and Edesheim, Homestead Golf, and for Lincoln High School Sports, Tim Hintz Automotive. The best coverage of high school sports is right here on AM 1320 WFHR and WFHR.com.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For today, we'll have areas of fog early. Otherwise, we'll have gradually clearing skies, high near 85. Winds will be from the west between 5 and 10. Tonight, clear. We'll have a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms late with a low near 65. For Saturday, showers and thunderstorms likely late. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 88. Tomorrow night, we'll continue with storms likely, low of 66. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by WeatherOlogy.com, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford.
Right now, we have partly sunny skies and 72 in Wausau, 71 in Marshfield, 72 in Stevens Point, and 72 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Again, you can reach your local investment professionals by calling 715-422-0700. Anything else on China, Pete, before we move on to Greece?
just in quick summary, I think everyone should be looking at any kind of international mutual funds or anything they currently own, see what the China representation is. Are you comfortable with it or not comfortable with it? But don't be surprised if you don't take care and monitor what you got going and you get your next statement that things have changed dramatically. In the short term, I think there's more pain. Longer term, I'm sure there'll be a great opportunity to get back in China.
Okay. And then we move on to Greece. And will they be stay in the Eurozone? It looks like they're working out some kind of a deal, a new deal.
You know, the Greece, when you say Greece, yeah, you think everybody's really quite fed up with the whole Greece story.
Yeah.
I mean, this started a long time ago in 2011. The Greece situation led to the last significant downturn in the marketplace. I think it was 20+% as the world was coming to an end and things. So the few general observations. Because this originally started in earnest in 2011, it gave 4 years before the next rendition that people who wanted out of Greece, didn't want anything to do with Greece, had the opportunity to get their money out of there. And for the most part, foreign investment, as evidence, was very much muted. Most of the lending came from the IMF and the ECB and stuff like that. So there wasn't really a great amount of banks, especially United States banks, but certainly European banks, that had a lot of exposure to Greece that would have been detrimental and had kind of a contagion effect because, you know, again, if you remember at 08, when one financial institution started crumbling because other people held their paper and things mm-hmm. like that, there became a snowball effect. So from the standpoint of a world and affecting the world, the economy of Greece wouldn't be in the top 20 in the United States of each individual state. Mm-hmm. In the top 20 individual states has a bigger, more productive economy, and it might be even greater than that. But the effect of them being thrown out of the euro, obviously for the country, would have been really detrimental because who wants a drachma? I mean, yeah. You know, to bring that currency back, who's going to do business with Greece in terms of exporting and import? I certainly don't want drachmas. You know, what's their valuation? Everybody knows that, you know, the Greeks in great financial debt, and so it would be hard for them to do business, all right? It would be hard for them to use the drachma as their currency until they started getting some things done. So the irony of politicians and their ability to sometimes put themselves ahead of their constituents is that, if you recall the end here, Greece made several moves to delay this, and ultimately they turned down, or they had one last offer from the other countries in the euro to try and solve their issue. The premier made the move. All right, well, let our people decide.
Yeah, all and right? They said no.
And they basically said, no, we don't want the austerity. And he, 2 days after the vote, accepted a deal that was worse than the deal
that they,
originally had before the deal, before the vote. And so as of Wednesday, the Greek part of it signed off. Last night, most of the European countries signed off on the general agreement.
Right.
So it would appear that they're going to remain in the euro. They're going to get funded. Some of the details, obviously, may be tweaked a little. But from the standpoint of Europe and investments in Europe, I do think there would have been short-term dislocation simply because two things. One, obviously, if Greece would have went out of the euro, everyone's going, well, who's next? Is Portugal next? Is Italy next?
Yeah.
Is Spain? You know, Spain's still got a 25% unemployment rate. And so that would have kind of put a little cloud over them. Obviously, there would have been some dislocations also in terms of the anyone that was doing business with Greece and relying on Greece. So the European markets probably would have gotten hit a little harder than they would have here. But from a standpoint of the world and the contagion, that's not a big thing. It was great for the markets that the markets are reacting accordingly, that Europe got it together. Greece is going to be there, and I'm sure before we die, we'll hear this whole saga get replayed.
So stay tuned. It's like the story that never ends. Okay, and then we have Iran. Supposedly, the president's trying to sell Congress on this deal with Iran on their in terms of the nukes and everything else. And what does this mean for the world economy?
Well,
and investors.
Yeah, I think the primary, the details and all that, I'm not sure, you know, the political ramifications in Israel and our relationships
right.
and that, I'm not really qualified to talk too much about. But what would happen here is, you know, this predominantly started because back in like late 2011 or 2012, we put sanctions on Iran,
right?
All right, and basically cut off their revenue supply by greatly reducing the amount of oil. For example, in 2011, they did about 2.4 million barrels a day. Last year, they were down to 1.4. So, you know, 800,000 a day for 2 years, you can do the math when, well, a lot of that, it was at $100 a barrel.
Right.
And so they felt the pain and they went to the table. Now, if in fact this does get approved, and again, it's a political football, it's Republicans, it's Democrat, you got a 2016 presidential election, you know, who knows. But the major ramifications will be this. They need money. They've been economically deprived of revenues for a couple years. So essentially, they're going to go out and compete in the marketplace. They got 20 million barrels in storage right now. They can get it 400,000 a day from the rigs that they've slowed down the pace of drilling. They got another 500,000 they project they can put on within a year of wells that were actually shut down and get them up and ramping. So you're looking at a substantial amount of oil that could be flowing onto the marketplace, all right?
Mm-hmm.
For you and I, whose primary relationship with oil and gas is putting it in our car,
right,
or heating, this is good. This would look like it. This will prolong the period of time that the market prices stay down.
Okay.
All right? And so that would be beneficial. For companies and countries that are really dependent on oil, this could start taking its toll. As you see economic stress, companies, especially in our country, on the oil field that had a lot of debt, and all of a sudden they're not getting their prices, and for every barrel they pump, they're not making any money, mm-hmm. but they're keeping people employed. So this, if approved, and again, it would appear that I would guess by this is a 2016 event that this oil starts coming in the market because it's our Congress, so you know it's not going to be done tomorrow.
Right.
And when it gets done, I would guess somewhere. And then they got to get up and ramping because they can't really do anything. They got to have some inspections. But the major, and why I just wanted to briefly talk about Iran today, is that if you own oil stocks, if you own oil-related things, you know, and if it's a big percentage of your portfolio, you may want to rethink that mm-hmm. and reexamine. Long-term, the demand continues to increase. It's just a matter of can they control and decrease the supply enough so that the price gets up where, you know, companies can make some profits and show some growth.
Okay. In the meantime, means I won't be spending as much on fueling up my vehicle,
which is good for our economy.
Well, yeah, and
so
it keeps
more
our economy
all
going.
In on. Yeah, the not so good for the oil companies, but you know, having more money in our pocket rather than putting it in your gas tank can't be a bad thing.
Okay. Well, an interesting trip around the world markets this morning, Professor, and I guess that's why we talk about it's where the economy of the world is interrelated. What happens one place is going to affect somewhere else. So
more so than ever.
Yeah, more so than ever, which is why, again, if you want to talk to your local investment professionals, call them up at Buena Vista Investment Management at 715-422-0700. Well, sir, you stay cool this weekend, and we'll look forward to our talk next month.
Great. Thank you very much.
And that's this edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bryan. That wraps up today's edition of The Morning Magazine, which, as always, has been brought to you by Comfort Air. CBS News is coming up next, and then I'm here with Over the Back Fence. We'll be taking your phone calls during that program, and that will lead into the WFHR Noon Report, during which I will have the Community Spotlight. It's all here on AM 1320 WFHR.
This is Laura Ingram, and you're listening to Central Wisconsin.